God is good. Amen. Can we give it up for our worship team? They did a great job. They did an awesome job. There are lots of things that happen like behind the scenes, like you don't get a chance to know. So can I tell you some stuff? Can I throw some secrets out tonight? And so we're going to throw some secrets out tonight. Cece did an amazing job tonight, and she's a worship school student right now. So, you know, it's kind of like it was an early exam for her. She didn't know that she was being graded. I'm just kidding. She's not being graded. But what was funny was that she didn't know that she was going to do this until about noon today. And so she stepped in today and she did an amazing job. Did she not? She did an awesome job. And so these guys came in and they came together real quick. And so I want you to do this. I want you to open your Bibles, and I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Before you go there, though, I just kind of want to talk to you about, can I talk about last year? I know we probably don't want to talk about 2020 anymore, right? Like, we're probably done. Like, could we not talk about that anymore? But if you're here and you're part of Synergy, then you know this. And I think, the 31st of 2019 fell on a Tuesday or around a Tuesday. It was somewhere around that. And so we had a worship night that night. And so I will never forget that these words, and in Synergy, I've brought this up several times, that the word that came that night was contend for 2020. So, like, you know, the word says contend for, and our thought process at that time was like, okay, yeah, let's fight, let's pray, let's get in there for 2020, and then it happened. So, like, the contend, it meant so much more once it happened, and I felt very much like we were like the disciples. You know, the disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane. When they were there, while they were there, Jesus brought them aside, and he said, hey, I want you to pray. So he was wanting them to do what? To contend for that moment. And so, and they had probably the same understanding that we had about 2020. Like, they didn't really know what was about to happen, just like we didn't know what was about to happen. And so, you know, they put the same effort into their contention as we probably did in ours, that if we knew that there was going to be a pandemic, that there were going to be racial strife, that our politics was going to be what it is, and if we knew all of that was going to happen, we might have stayed there and prayed all night. And so there's a thought process that happens in the course of as we step into this year, because we come in, and I remember what January 20th-ish of 2019 was like, or 2020 was like. You know, we just thought it was another year, right? We thought that we were stepping in, and, you know, we could hear the trickles of what was happening, but we're like, oh, that's over there. We're fine. And so there's a thought process that if we would understand that there's some things about the plan of God that he can't tell you, right? There's some things about the things of God that if he told you right away, you would run. I don't know about you, but I would have ran. I was here in 1999, and I was here because at the time I was visiting my girlfriend, who I was blessed enough to marry, praise God. And so, but I was here just to visit her because she was going to Rhema. And so, I, you know, what better way to come visit her than during Winter Bible Seminar, right? And so I came here during Winter Bible Seminar in 1999, and I'm, you know, this place is huge when the first time you walk here. I mean, it's still big, but it's huge. And so I'm just admiring the place, and I found myself in the balcony, on this side of the balcony, out there in that stairwell right there. And God spoke to me. He spoke to me about a lot of things that were going to happen in the future. And just like the disciples, just like us last year at the beginning of 2020, I didn't understand. And if he was to explain everything that was about to happen at that moment, I might have just said, that's it, man. You do this thing without me. Just because what he knew what was going to happen and what I knew what was going to happen was different. So I want to start off by explaining to us that our knowledge of the situation, we don't, what you, listen, we're, can we won't tell anybody else, but we're smart people in this room, right? Like we're the smartest group, right? We won't tell anybody else that we're that group. But regardless of what we know, we still don't understand. And so just like those disciples in the garden, you know, if they would have known that what was about to happen, Jesus, I mean, he did explain it to them, right? Just the Last Supper. They just had a supper and he told them that he was going to have to go away and he was going to have to die. And Peter said, no, this is not going to happen. I'm not going to let it happen. He's like, well, you're going to betray me 3 times. And they still didn't understand it. And if they would have understood it at that moment, all the messages of the kingdom of God that they had been listening to, that all the message that was about to transpire, and in order for that to transpire, that Jesus would have to go to the cross, die, and then be raised again on the third day, their prayer in the garden would have been different, right? Their prayer in the garden would have been different. And here's the thing that will blow your mind about the prayer in their garden. The prayer in the garden wouldn't have been to save Jesus if they would have understood the plan. See, the plan in the garden would have been to pray for the will of God to be done and for nothing to interfere with what the will of God was to be done. Their prayer would have simply been, God, let everything that you have planned transpire. Come on, I want to make sure you understand that their prayer wouldn't have been about anybody's safety. Their prayer wouldn't have been about all the extra stuff they could have received. Their prayer wouldn't have been about anything else except for the will of God to happen the way it was supposed to happen, because that's how everybody gets saved. So imagine if we could think of 20, if we'd have thought of 2020, and if we could think of 2021, not thinking about, because what did 2020 do? It exposed us a little bit, right? We're selfish people, you know that? I'm sorry, I don't know, I mean, you thought I was coming with good news. That's good news, right? To know that you're selfish, right? The idea is that we're selfish people because we learn and we capture the things of God for who? For us. And we make sure that we gather all the things. I gather the healing. I'm gathering the prosperity. And I've got this basket that's got my name on it. And I'm putting everything in it that belongs to me. And I'm taking care of me. And so in 2020, we found out that taking care of me was hard. Like we couldn't get toilet paper. You know what I'm saying? Like it was rough. And I grew up in the 80s. I know I don't look that old, but I grew up in the 80s. And in the 80s, every movie starts off with the apocalypse, and it happens somewhere between 2015 and 2024. It's the truth. It's the truth. Every movie starts out that way. And when you see, it's dry, it's desolate, there's no food, there's nothing. What they were close, they just needed to put no toilet paper is what they needed to put. There's just no toilet paper. But the idea is that if we could gravitate and grab a hold of the things of God to let his will transpire, and let his will come forth, well, then it's a different thought. Because God does a great job. Come on, did God not do a great job of taking care of us last year? And here's something that's, because we know, we over the past year, we've lost some close people, right? We've lost some people that's close to us. And what's wonderful about a lot of those people, man, they're living pretty good right now. Because they know Christ. And so even in the middle of us losing them, they didn't lose at all. Another sense of urgency. If I wanted to put a title on this message, that would be the title. The title would be having the right sense of urgency. Because that's what we want to create tonight. What we want to create is the sense of urgency that allows us to actually pray right, that allows us to actually live right. A sense of urgency allows us to do things from appropriate place, then from the place of taking care of us, but from the appropriate place that God has set for us to take care of other people. Real quick, before we go to 2 Timothy, I just want to throw down this definition of urgency, and I want to apologize if you're an English teacher in here, because math was my subject. English wasn't my subject. But if I understand urgency correctly, urgency is the noun that's attached to the adjective urgent. Okay, I could be wrong about that, but that's okay. We're going to go with it, okay? The reason why we're going to go with it, because when you look up the word urgency, it tells you to be urgent. So what we need to know is, what does it mean to be urgent? And whenever you look up the word urgent, it tells you something pretty simple. It says urgent is generally defined as calling for an immediate attention or action. That when something is urgent, that it calls for an immediate attention and immediate action. So then, therefore, when God gives us an urgent message, if I sit and do nothing, then I have taken away what the urgency of the message is for. The title that's given to the message for it to be urgency, if I'm not moving, if there's no action, then I've actually defeated the urgency that's in the message. So let me give you a message today that starts off. It starts off here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, "For know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." So can we stop right there just for a moment and say that that's a good urgent message? That if the lights were all to go out and the big booming voice was to come out of the sky and say, "This is the last days," you would find a sense of urgency there, right? And yet, every urgent message that we need to know, that we need to have immediate action to, is in the Word of God. Every urgent message, everything that should get me to the place to where I'm not sitting and I'm actually doing something, is actually in the Word of God. And so this message starts off by telling us that we're in the last days. Now, like I told you, I love math. So can I do some basic math for you? Some basic math says that when this scripture was written, we are definitely a lot more in the last days now than it was when this was written, right? I mean, that's just basic math, right? Like, we're a lot closer today. And yet, when he wrote this, he wanted Timothy to have a sense of urgency. When he wrote this to Timothy, he didn't want Timothy to sit on his hands any longer. He wanted there to be a sense of urgency. And so then that scripture goes on to say, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty." That's a nice list. Here's what's crazy. If you think about this list that we just read here, and think about 30 years ago, if you'd have read this list, you'd have thought, man, those are going to be some really bad days. And yet, as you read this list, well, those attitudes are all really prevalent right now, aren't they? There's probably nothing that we've read on this list that we don't see somewhere, somehow, some way in our society right now. We're in the last days. It's urgent. It's time for immediate action. And then I love how it qualifies it. It says, "Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away." Our immediate response when we read this scripture, our immediate response is to do that last part of that scripture, which it says, "From such people, turn away." Our immediate response is, let me find all the people who have this list of stuff, and let me just, y'all stay away from me. And that's generally what our attitude is when we read this scripture. Let me get rid of all the people out there who are, you know, boasters and proud, and our immediate action is to look for the people. And what it causes us to do then, it causes us to judge other people, right? Can I tell you something? I tell this to, if you're a student in here, then you've heard me say this. That wonderful scripture that talks about the law and the principle of God of good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. It's a great scripture. It's a principle. The context of that scripture is judging. It starts off, it says, judge not, lest ye be judged. So I tell you that to say this, that if you decide and determine within yourself to judge a person for their pride or for their lack of self-control, then you can receive that same judgment back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's how the principle works. And so when we get caught up in these moments where we're judging people according to these actions, there's something I see in here that makes me think of this a little bit different, because it says from such people to stay away. I just don't want to be one of those people, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be anything that's on this list. And imagine how much more time it would take me to clean this stuff up in me than to clean it up in you, because I got no control over you. So then there has to be a place that when I'm looking at this list, that I'm not looking from an outward perspective, that I'm not looking at what someone else is carrying, that I'm not looking at whether someone else is without self-control or with pride or a boaster or a blasphemer. What I'm looking for is to take care of myself and to make sure that I'm not on that list. Because what does it say? Those people have a form of godliness. That means they're here. That means they're at church, people. That means they lift their hands, they praise the Lord, they go to prayer meetings. They go to the nursing home. Man, I probably should have said something more cheerful tonight, huh? But the reality is if I spend more time trying to get that stuff out of me, well, man, that really covers all the judgment that I really need. I really have no time for you to fix you, because, man, this is a full-time job right here, man. And I'm just talking about me, you know, it's a full-time job. But then here's the other thing, and the other thing that I see in the scripture that just stands out to me. It gives me the difference between being the list and not being the list. And it gives it to me in two categories. The first category is a lover of pleasure, and the second category is a lover of God. And it's amazing to me that when I'm a lover of pleasure, or I'm loving to do what pleases me the most, how I end up more with more of the things on this list than I end up with things that aren't on that list. And it's amazing to me that how much, if I then take that exact same attitude and determine to please God, man, how much of those things I can start to get out of me. How much of those things I can start to change. How much of those things I can start to be different and not be on this list, and actually have the power that comes with the godliness. And so then that tells me then I need to love the Lord. So then let's talk about that. Can we just real quickly? I'm almost done. Isn't that cool? Let me talk about loving the Lord. Go to John chapter 14. And I'm just going to read verse 15, even though I love to read the rest of that. And maybe I'll be able to come back to the rest of it, 16 through 18. But I just want to read verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Man, So you're telling me that when I love God, then the way I love God is to keep his commandments. So then therefore, if I want to be a lover of God and not a lover of pleasure, what am I going to do within myself? Well, I'm going to find God's commandments and I'm going to keep them. I know you were looking for something a lot more complicated. But in word, it's simple, right? But in action, come on, we live this life every day, right? We live this life every day. We live these moments every day. We actually understand where the hurdles come from. We actually understand where the moments happen, where we need to learn how to move this thing out of the way so that I can walk and I can do the commandment of God. We understand how each step that we take can actually be a step that may be harder than the next, depending on what I've got to overcome to get there. And here's the powerful thing about it. You're not on your own. You're not on your own, because then when you go to read the rest of that scripture, what does he tell you? He says, well, hey, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm actually going to send you a helper. And that helper will help you understand and help you know what? The spirit of truth, to know what's right and what's wrong. And that Holy Spirit on the inside of me will help me navigate. If you look up Holy Spirit, you look it up, the word dunamis, that one of the words of dunamis means moral power. The Holy Spirit will help you navigate through not being on the list in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But let's just take another step. You guys are so excited today, man. Nobody's running. I don't understand why nobody's running. All right. Let's go to Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 22. Because here's the urgency that I'm trying to create right now. The urgency that I'm trying to create is for us to get out of our own way and really allow the will of God to transpire. And one of the things that's very difficult for the will of God to take place is we get easily caught up in what's happening around us. I believe in Hebrews it talks about the sin that so easily besets us. And so we get caught up in the noise of everything that happens. And we would imagine, it's amazing how much more impact the disciples had after they understood the plan. It's amazing that we could see the miracles. We could see how fast they grew the church. Well, because they were no longer trying to build a earthly kingdom, they realized that God was trying to build a heavenly kingdom. And so they decided to take away the idea of let's build up stock here, but no, let's build up stock there. And so it changed their view, it changed their message, it changed their urgency, and so therefore their urgency changed their actions. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. It says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. When we go to John and it tells us that if we love the Lord, we should keep his commandments, we have two main things that we need to keep. One, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. One of my favorite things is I love Old Testament I love Old Testament characters, characters, but people in the Bible. I love them because they prove that God can use imperfect people, right? Like if you just go through the book of Judges, like none of those people are right, okay? There's something wrong with every one of them. But God still uses them. And so the reason why I bring that up is because when I say love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind and all your soul, and there's this level of perfection that you think, oh man, that disqualifies me because I'm not perfect. You know, I can't do it because, you know, I love the Lord, but then, you know, I have that day or I have that moment. I mean, there are people right now who are at home watching a Chiefs game. I feel sorry for them. I have no idea what the score is, so I don't know. But the reality of it is that we see that and we think of it as such a big hurdle. And we think of the hurdle of with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul. And here's the crazy thing. One of the people in the Bible that David named David, God called him a man after his own heart. Have you looked at what he did? Did you see some of the things that he did? I mean, he really messed up in a couple of places. And even with all those mess ups after that, guess what? He was still known as what? A man after God's own heart. Why? Because, well, loving the Lord with all of your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind makes you quick to repent. And so therefore, when I'm going down the list and I see there's some things on that list, and one of the things that's on that list is, disobedient to parents. If you're a teenager in here, you're like, you wish I wouldn't have talked about that, right? My mom's watching, like, I probably shouldn't have talked about that. But the reality of it is that the quickness to repent to that gets that out of my category, gets me out of the way. It puts me out of the perilous area and actually puts me in the area to walk out the will of God. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have that moment without self-control. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have that moment of pride, because I will. It doesn't mean I'm not going to have those moments, but a person after God's own heart, man, guess what you do? You repent quickly. And that quick moment, that quick repentance, all of a sudden puts me out of the place to where I'm just doing my thing, and now it puts me in a place to where I'm doing God's thing. But let me give you, because I still haven't given you the sense of urgency yet. I still haven't given you the thing that requires the biggest and the most immediate action out of you. And that comes in the second commandment. In the second commandment, it tells us to do what? It tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, as I look throughout the crowd, I'm looking throughout, and you guys look like you take care of yourself pretty good. So, man, if you would just at least take care of someone else the way you're taking care of you, man, it's amazing what God can do. Here's the power of what God wants. If you go to 1 John, it used to be a song. 1 John, I don't know if you remember that. 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone loves is born of God. Knoweth God, who then loveth not? Knoweth not God, for God is love. And then, beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4, 7, and 8. That's how I remember scriptures, as they were all songs. But the key of that scripture, it tells you that he that loveth not knoweth not God. So here, this ties the commandment one with commandment two. So there's no way that you can really love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and not love your neighbor. Like, there's no way that I could actually say, man, you know, I don't care about what happens to you. I'm going to the grocery store and I'm getting all the toilet paper. It's all for me. Good luck, buddy. There's leaves, there's trees out there, man. Have a good time. No, no, no. If I'm thinking of my neighbor, if I'm thinking of that other person, if I'm thinking of someone else, then that me loving on someone else is the immediate action of urgency that God is calling us all to be able to go out and to change lives and to impact people and to touch the lives of the people around us so that we can love the Lord with all of our heart and our soul and we can actually add some power to our godliness. Because there's no power in our godliness if I don't care about what happens to you. It's amazing. If you go back to the beginning of Acts and you look at what the early church did, they kind of took, hey, come imagine this. Imagine if we decided that we as a group were going to take care of each other, right? So listen, I just want you to take all your money and I want you to put it in a pot. And everybody's going to take their money and we're all going to put it in a pot. And then we're all going to use this money to take care of everybody else. There's some of you who are like, man, I got 2 cents. So yeah, I got it. If you put it in the pot, you know. And then there's some people that you're like, well, can I put some of my money in the pot? I mean, that happened in the Bible. I'll let you read what happens when that happens. The reality of it is that they were able to use their resources to take care of everyone. That they took the urgency of God and to be able to say, hey, listen, we wanna I don't care how much I've got, I'm gonna take all I've got and I'm gonna put it in this pot, and I'm not gonna get back what I put in, literally, but God is gonna give it back to me. See, there's a level of trust that I have to have with God when I give, whether it's of my time, whether it's of my money, no matter what it is, when I give, well, then we can go back to that principle of good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Because it's still the same principle. And so what God is looking for us right now, what's our sense of urgency in these last days for 2021? Man, look at my neighbor. Who's next door? How can I touch them? Man, who's the guy? You know, if you're still going to the gym, if you're going to the gym, well, who's the guy next right there in the gym? You know, who's the, you know, maybe you don't go in the grocery store. Maybe you're just at pickup. You know, who's the person there for pickup? I think just the other day, I don't even know if she's here tonight, but there was we went to pick up, you know, people, I don't recognize people with their mask on. And she was like, hi! And I was like, who are you? Hi. She was like, you don't know who I am. You're like, no, I don't know who you are. It was somebody I knew. So imagine if I was rude that day, or imagine if, come on, Raymond students, you hear what I'm saying? But the impact of what God is looking for from us is the impact at which we can actually go and actually change the world and actually touch the world by doing what? Well, just touching the person that's reachable. And me loving them and caring for them. And while I'm sitting on my hands saying, God, prosper me. God, heal me. God, give me this. God is like, yeah, I'm giving you all this because you could put it in this big pot and give it to somebody else. And that's the urgency. That's what he's looking for. That's what the last days are full of for us. That's the urgent action that we have to take hold of. The urgent action for us is to no longer sit and watch, but to now get up and speak. The urgent action for us is to get up and to give. And I should be waking up every day thinking, man, who is that person, God, that you want me to touch today? Who is that person that you need me to reach out to today? Whether it's with a kind word, whether it's with a monetary gift, whether it's just with whatever it is that God is telling me to give them, who is it? Here's the power of the message tonight. The power of the message tonight doesn't come with, you know, a big praise song, praise break at the end. At least not for for me, but maybe for the person you reach out to. Man, that might be the praise break you need right there. That might be the difference. And what is God looking for us? Well, he's trying to get us in the same place he got the disciples, because the disciples left that garden, and they left that garden and they felt defeated. And they left that garden and they didn't know what to expect. And they left the garden and they weren't sure completely what was next. And then, you know, God did what God does, and Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. And on that third day, they got it. They were like, wait, you're here. Oh, I see. And all of a sudden, they realized that it wasn't a natural thing that God was trying to do. It was a spiritual thing that God was trying to do. And it wasn't just a kingdom that was going to have a time period. It was a kingdom that was going to transcend time and transcend boundaries and go everywhere, which includes your neighborhood, which includes your households, which includes your workplaces, includes your Quick Trip. That's the place that he's looking for the impact for us. And that's the urgency. We can hear all the doom and gloom of what's going to happen in whatever economy, whatever the news has, and all the doom and gloom that they want to promote. But you know what? We're not worried about this, because we actually know. If you read it, it tells us how it ends. We know how it ends. It's a good ending. So then I don't need to worry about all this extra stuff and how that works. What I need to do is walk out the plan of God and actually start to gather. I'll say this last thing and then I'll be done. One of the things we love, you know, if you were Peter, you know how difficult it must have felt for Peter, because Jesus said, look, you're going to betray me three times. You're going to deny me three times. And he's like, no. I would never do that. Yeah, you'll do this before this time of the morning, you will do this. And sure enough, what happened? It happened. And so you can imagine the guilt of that. You can imagine the weight of that guilt. And so now Jesus is standing there in front of you. And you've got to feel the weight of that guilt to think, man, he told me I was gonna deny him, and I did it. And in the middle, what you never see is a conversation. Not saying that they didn't have it, but you never see a conversation between Jesus and Peter. Talk about, you remember that night you said you denied me, you know? Jesus never brought it up. But what we do is we see a conversation between Jesus and Peter. And what does he say to him? He says, Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, if you love me, do you love me? Yes, you know I love you. If you love me, do what? Feed my sheep. Jesus wasn't concerned about the betrayal. He wasn't concerned about the right thing or the wrong thing. He was concerned about the people, because God is in the people business. And we should get into the same business that our God is in. And get into the people business. And then the impact. No matter what happens, there's going to be craziness that can happen around us. If you read it, if you just read the Bible, it says it's a lot of crazy stuff that's going to happen. But I'm not concerned about it. What I'm concerned about is whether or not there's a person next to me who knows him. And what we don't want is another person to leave this earth without knowing who Jesus is. Amen? Let's pray. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for teaching us, God, for teaching us how to walk your path, for teaching us how to keep your purpose, the thing that matters to you the most, in front of us. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you do what your word says, and as your word says, that at the moment when we come across these people, God, that you will give us those perfect words, you'll give us the right thing to say. Give us the thing that will promote you and not promote us. Give us the thing that works for bringing them into your kingdom, that gathers the sheep, that brings in the fish, Father. Lord, we commit ourselves to your plan, to follow your way, to go the way you've called us to go. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. If you're in here tonight, and maybe you came in here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, he died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for you. So that you would have life, and I believe the way it says in the word that you would have life and that you would have it more abundantly. And it's as simple as it can be tonight for you. Because just to make the change from having a life without Christ to having a life with Christ is as simple as just believing in your heart that he died on the cross for you, and that he raised from the dead, and then just confessing it with your mouth. And that simple action changes your life forever. That simple life takes you from a life of not knowing what a future is into a future that's been planned for you from the moment that you were born. That simple choice takes you from a life of not knowing what you're going to have into a life of abundance. That simple choice changes your life forever. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in here tonight and you're saying, you know what, I need to make that choice. I need to make that choice to change my life, to step into this new arena. I just want you to raise your hand. I want to give you an opportunity. To raise your hand. That's awesome. Once you put your hand up, you can put it down. Is there anybody else? If you want to raise your hand in here, this is an opportunity to have your life change forever. This is an opportunity to step into the fullness of what God has for you. Do this for me. Everybody stand up. For you who raised your hand, I want you to do something for me. I want you to come down here. Come on, give this man a hand. If there's anybody here who wants to join him, give an opportunity if anybody wants to join him right now. It's an opportunity to change your life forever. Let me tell you something that's really awesome. God loves you. He loves you so much. He loves you so much that he allows you to walk into this opportunity so that he could change your life forever. So this is what I want to do. I just want to pray for you real quick, and then I'm going to ask you to go here with Brother Paul so that he can answer some more questions for you. So, Father, right now you see this young man, and Lord, God, we thank you for his life. And so, Father, God, as he makes this step into your direction, Lord, just begin to fill him with your words. Begin to fill him with your purpose. Begin to fill him, Father, with absolutely everything he needs to accomplish, God, what you made him to accomplish from the very beginning. God, we thank you for this moment. And, Father, we thank you for him. And right now, heaven celebrates. For this life right here. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could do me a favor and you can go with Brother Paul over here, it's awesome. Come on, let's give this man a hand. That's awesome. That's what it's about. Amen. You guys can grab your seats really quick, super fast. I don't know if we had any first time visitors. Do we have any first time visitors? If Did you take care of them already? You gave them everything they need? Did you give them all that money they were supposed to get? Okay. All right. Well, great. So then y'all got everything. No, just kidding. So if you're a first-time guest here, we're super happy you came. And we ask, please come back. I will tell you this, and I will say this, not because I have to, but because I really believe it. I love Sunday night services to hear from Pastor Bad, that's Bill and Tad put together, Pastor Bad, Pastor Bill, Pastor Tad, you put it together, they're bad, man, they're bad, you know they're bad, anyway, so, but It's one of the lovely, one of the things I love. You know, we love hearing from Pastor and Pastor Craig and Pastor Janice and Mrs. Hagan. But then there are so many nuggets that I get from these two men right here. And so I appreciate. So if you're here on a Sunday night, please come back. There's more. There's so much more. Is there anything else? Do we need to go? Cece, you want to sing a song before we leave? Because that's what Pastor Bill did to me the other day. No, you're good. All right. Well, listen, we want to thank you guys for coming. And remember, Hour of Power on Wednesday. We look forward to seeing you here on Wednesday night. Have a great night.